بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وإن خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and upon his family, his companions, and all those who follow the guidance and the way, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until yawm al-qiyamah. لَيْسَ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحَبْ. This is a phrase that scholars mention, a sentence that scholars mention that has a great wisdom in it. لَيْسَ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحَبْ. And the meaning of this phrase is that it's not important that you love, but what's important is that you are loved. لَيْسَ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحَبْ. This worldly life, الدُّنْيَا, all of it is built upon مَحَبَّة, upon love. Every statement that you say or that you make, every action that you perform, it's based upon love. Either your love for doing it or the absence of love and therefore you don't do it, or because you despise something and this is in opposition to love. The point is, every statement and every action, even the dunya, is based upon mahabba, upon love. And for the Muslim, the asl is your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mahabbatullah. That everything that you do is based upon the love of Allah azza wa jal. However, what's important, as I mentioned this principle, isn't that you love, meaning your love of Allah. Rather, what's more important is the love of Allah for you. And this is the meaning of this phrase, لَيْسَ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّأْنَ أَن تُحَبْ. That what's important isn't that you love, but what is important is that you are loved. I'll give you an example. We have two types of people. One person, he celebrates festivals and days and Eids which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't celebrate. He makes remembrance of Allah in ways which are strange, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't used to do. He dances in the masjid. There's music in the masjid. He's extreme and has ghulu regarding those people who he sees as the awliya of Allah. He goes to the graves. He sacrifices for other than Allah. And when you ask this person, why are you doing this action? He'll say, because I love Allah. Or, I love the Messenger. Or, I am عاشق الرسول, or عاشق النبي, a lover of the Prophet, or a lover of the Messenger. So, the reason or the cause which has caused him to do these actions and to deviate, do actions which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do, to bring about innovations, to do acts of shirk, the cause of it is what? According to his own self, inni uhibbullah, inni ahibbullah, because I love Allah, because I am ashiq al-nabi, a lover of the Prophet. And he is truthful in this, in terms of his love in his heart. You can't say that this person, he doesn't love Allah. The actions that he is doing are wrong, and they don't conform to his love of Allah. But in his heart, according to his thinking, in his intention, then he is doing these actions out of his love of Allah. And then we have another person, he celebrates Eid, but he only celebrates two Eids. He makes dhikr of Allah, but he restricts his dhikr of Allah according to how the Prophet ﷺ used to do so. He visits the grave, but he restricts his times and his action in the grave according to how the Prophet ﷺ used to do so. And when you ask him, why do you do these actions? He says that these are the actions which Allah loves. And if I do these actions, I want to be from amongst those people whom Allah loves. This is the meaning of لَيْسَ شَأْنَ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ شَأْن أَن تُحَبْ. That what's important isn't that you love Allah, but what's important is that Allah, He loves you. It's easy for a person to say, I love Him. But it's more difficult for a person to say that he loves me. And that's why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us about a group of people, and in this ayah, He mentions His love for them before their love for Him. His love for them is given more preference or more precedence than their love for Him. Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ Whoever leaves the religion from amongst you, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ Then Allah will come, He'll bring about a group of people, يُحِبُّهُمْ He will love them, وَيُحِبُّونَ And they will love Him. So think about this ayah. The first love that Allah mentioned is His love for those people. Then afterwards He mentioned their love for Him. Why did He mention His love for them first? Because لَيْسَ شَأْنَ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ شَأْنَ أَن تُحَبْ Because what's important isn't that you love, but what is important is that you are loved. You are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned that He will bring a group of people whom He loves them and they love Him. So because of Him loving those group of people, because of this love, they then love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an affirmation for this principle. So whenever we do acts of worship, we always think that is this act of worship beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't think that I'm going to do this act because I love Allah. Because you may do this act out of your mahabbah, out of your love for Allah, yet this action isn't accepted. Or it isn't valid. Or it isn't from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore the Muslim thinks, this action if I do it, is it beloved to Allah? Not is it beloved to me? And if I do this action, will I be beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not the other way around? And this is what the Sharia points us towards. Allah said in the Quran, in the ayah that most of you will have heard, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي Say, if you truly love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي Then follow me. What's the result? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Then Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ And He will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ And Allah is الغفور الرحيم. قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ Say, in the next ayah, show obedience to Allah. وَالرَّسُولُ And show obedience to the messenger. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا And if they turn away, if they turn away from obedience to Allah, if they turn away from obedience to the Messenger of Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ Then Allah does not love the kafirin, those who disbelieve or those who reject. So we see in this ayah that the goal or the target or the objective is يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ That Allah will love you. This is the goal that every single Muslim has to have. I'm doing this action because Allah loves this action. I'm doing this action because I want to be amongst those people whom Allah loves, not the other way around. So the goal or the objective is achieving and acquiring the love and the pleasure and the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the avenue or the way to achieve this love of Allah? Fattabi'uni. Follow me. Follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, there is no path and no avenue towards the love and the pleasure and the delight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَرُوحٌ دَعَاهَا لِلْوِصَالِ حَبِيبُهَا فَسَعَتْ إِلَيْهِ تُطِيعُهُ وَتِجِيبُهُ يَا مُدَّعِي صِدْقَ الْمَحَبَّةِ هَكَذَا فِعْلُ الْحَبِيبِ إِذَا دَعَاهُ حَبِيبُهُ. One of the Arab poets, he said, the general meaning is that a person, he called a woman who was beloved to him. So she came running to him, answering him and showing obedience to him. Ya mudda'i sidq al-mahabbati hakadha, O one who claims love, this is how a person who loves his beloved, this is how he should be. How? Tujibuhu wa tuti'uhu. Answering his call and showing obedience to him. So there's no avenue towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards his pleasure except through following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question, and this question is, how do you know that Allah loves you? How do you know that this person you are following, or this sheikh you are following, this maulana you are following, that he is from amongst those people who is beloved to Allah? Remember, I'm not asking the question, how do you know that he loves Allah? Because this isn't the important question. We said that the important question is, does Allah love you? And are your actions beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Somebody might answer this question by saying, well, this sheikh, my maulana, my imam, he has dreams. And in this dream he has been given glad tidings. My sheikh, my maulana, I know he's beloved to Allah. I know he's a wali of Allah because he does things that other people can't do. He does miracles that other people aren't able to do. He'll say that this my sheikh is beloved to Allah, he's a wali of Allah, because whatever he asks, whenever he asks from Allah, he is given it. And this is an incorrect answer. Because look at the situation of the kuffar, the disbelievers, whom Allah hates and despises, and they hate Allah. And yet he gives to them. And sometimes they do things that the Muslims aren't able to do. And they have luxuries and wealth and comfort and a system that sometimes even the Muslims, they aren't able to get this. Does this mean that Allah loves them? In fact, more severe than this, or a better example than this, is Iblis alayhi la'natullah. The one upon whom is the curse of Allah. When he said, قَالَ أَنظِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He said to Allah, he sought from Allah, he asked Allah, he said, O Allah, give me a period of respite and delay until the day where the people will be resurrected. So he asked this from Allah, he sought this from Allah. And Allah said, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ. He answered him, he gave it to him, he said, you are from those people who have been given a period of respite and delay. Even though he's Iblis, upon him is the curse of Allah, he's the most despised and hated to Allah, he's the most disbelieving of beings to Allah Azza wa Jal, yet Allah gave him this. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give something to somebody, or he might see a dream, or maybe he can do things, or claimed miracles that others can't do, then this isn't an evidence, or a sign, or an indicator that this person is beloved to Allah. And therefore, how do we know, what are the signs that somebody is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah azza wa jal, he gives that person tawfiq, he guides him, he gives him inner guidance, that he lives his life upon at-tawheed, and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling the obligations, doing nawafil, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has knowledge, he seeks knowledge. Look how Allah said in the Quran, look how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated in Sahih Bukhari in Kitab al-Ilm, upon the authority of Muawiyah radiallahu an, in the famous hadith that most of you will know, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever Allah wants goodness for, meaning, whoever Allah wants to make this person beloved to him from his mahbub, then he gives him fiqh, understanding, knowledge, insight regarding the religion. So this is one of the indicators that, or one of the avenues to which we can acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge, ilm, fiqh regarding the religion. Look how Allah said in the Quran, the ayah I recited, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you truly love Allah, follow me, follow the messenger, and then Allah will love you, and He will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So this is another indicator. Not that we see miracles, or he does things, or he sees dreams, but that this person is following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, he is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ شَأْنَ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ شَأْنَ أَن تُحَبْ. It's not important that you love, rather what's important is that you are loved. You are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the things that you can do in order to be loved by Allah azza wa jal? Making istighfar, making a tawbah, purifying yourself. Why? Because Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Indeed, Allah, He loves the tawwabin, those who seek repentance and tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ, and He loves those who purify themselves. The mufassirin, the ulama, the tabi'in who explained the ayat of the Quran, they said that the meaning of at-tawwabin is those people who purify their hearts and they purify their sins by making tawbah and repentance to Allah. And the meaning of mutatahhirin are those people who purify themselves with water from the physical impurities for the prayer. So this is one of the ways in which you can become from those people whom Allah loves subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, fulfilling the obligations of Allah. And after you have fulfilled the obligations of Allah, then doing as much as you are able to do so, the voluntary acts of worship, voluntary prayer, voluntary fasting, voluntary charity, and so on and so forth. In the famous hadith al-Qudsi, in Sahih Bukhari, upon the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, then indeed I've declared a war against that person. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُهُ إِلَيْهِ. And my slave, he does not seek closeness to me in anything which is more beloved to me than that which I have made fard upon him, a wajib upon him. The most beloved actions to Allah through which we can seek closeness to Allah and become a beloved of Allah are the obligations, the fara'id and the wajibat. And then the hadith carries on, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ. And my slave, he carries on seeking closeness to me after completing the obligations by the nawafil acts, the voluntary acts of worship, until I love him. So now he becomes from the beloved of Allah. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. So if I love him, when I love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. Then I become His hearing by which he hears. وَبَصْرَهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهِ And I become his sight through which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا And I become his hand by which he does things. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِ بِهَا And I become his foot or his leg by which he walks. وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ And whenever he asks from me something, I give it to him. وَلَئِن اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ And whenever he seeks refuge in me, then I give him refuge. The meaning of this hadith is that whenever a slave of Allah, he fulfills the obligations, seeking closeness and the love of Allah, and then he does this, and he continues and persists upon this by doing the nawafil, then Allah loves him. When Allah loves him, then he fills his heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he fills his conscience with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such that whenever he hears and listens, he hears and listens with the tawfiq of Allah. And he doesn't hear evil. And when he looks with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he only sees goodness. And when he does actions with his hands or with his legs, then he does this with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the guidance of Allah. And therefore it's only towards goodness. And when he asks, Allah gives. And when he seeks refuge, then Allah gives him refuge. The point is that this is another avenue from which or through which we can seek and acquire the love and the pleasure and the acceptance and the delight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also from the avenues is Al-Ihsan, showing goodness, being good, showing goodness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing goodness to the Muslims, showing goodness to animals, showing goodness to the creation that is around us. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Indeed Allah, He loves those who have ihsan, those who are good towards Allah and those who are good towards the people. Another avenue through which you can acquire and achieve the love and the pleasure and the acceptance of Allah Azza wa Jal. As-sabr, patience. When there's a hardship that you're going through, you can't find a job, you've got loans or debt on top of you that you can't pay, there's an illness that you're going through, others have been given that something that you haven't been given. One of your family members passes away. A calamity befalls you. If you're patient, then this is one of the ways to achieve the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Because Allah said in the Quran that indeed Allah, He loves the sabirin, those who are patient. And what's the principle that we mentioned? Laysa sha'na an tuhib, walakinna sha'na an tuhab. Why do I mention this principle? This is from the most important principles that if we were to understand and live by this principle, there wouldn't be any innovations, and there wouldn't be any shirk, and there wouldn't be any doubts and misguidance and deviation. So this is a principle we have to memorize and know and learn where it's come from and the wisdom behind it and teach it to the people. Also from the avenues in which a person can achieve and acquire the love and the pleasure of Allah is fulfilling your promises and having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said in the Quran, بَلَا مَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ وَاتَّقَى Rather, whoever fulfills his word and his promise and his trust, وَاتَّقَى And he has taqwa of Allah, فَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ Then indeed Allah loves those people who have at-taqwa. They are always conscious and fearful of the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another way in which you can achieve and acquire the love and the acceptance and the pleasure of Allah jalla fil ula is through the recitation of the Qur'an and through knowing at-tawheed. In the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the famous hadith that most of you will know, regarding the man who used to always recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha. Two lines, one and a half lines. And the companions asked this man, why do you keep repeating Surat al-Ikhlas? The companions asked this man, why do you keep repeating Surat al-Ikhlas, the shortest surah? He said, إِنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ, because it contains the description of Allah. It contains a mention of the attributes and the characteristics and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُحِبُّ أَنْ أَقْرَأَهَا, and I love that I should recite it. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard what this man has said, he said to his companions, go to him, فَأَخْبِرُوهُ أَنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ, go to him and tell him that Allah loves him. Through what? Through the recitation of Surat al-Ikhlas. Because al-Ikhlas, all of it is regarding al-Tawheed and affirming the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the ways to achieve and acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving the righteous people, loving the Muslims, loving those who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving the awliya, loving the ulama, loving the shuhada, and sitting with them, and sitting in the righteous places, and visiting them. The famous hadith al-Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah azza wa jal said, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ, my love is guaranteed for those people who love each other for my sake. وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ, my love is guaranteed for those people who sit together for my sake. وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ, my love is guaranteed for those people who visit each other for my sake. So look, one of the ways of achieving and acquiring the love and the pleasure, the mahabba and the rida, the acceptance and the pleasure of Allah is through what? Loving the salihin, loving the ulama, loving the awliya, sitting with them, benefiting from them, loving the Muslims, even visiting each other. Allah said in this hadith, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ, even those who visit each other for my sake, then my mahabba for them has been guaranteed. From amongst the ways or the avenues of achieving and acquiring the love of Allah is in benefiting the Muslims, in being in the service of Muslims, even if it's in the affair of the dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked by the companions, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger Allah, Man ahabbu nas ila Allah, who are the most beloved of people to Allah? He said, Ahabba nas ila Allah anfa'uhum ila al-khalq, the most beloved of people to Allah are those who are most beneficial to the rest of the creation or to the rest of the people, kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa ahabbu al-a'mal ila Allah, and the most beloved action to Allah Azza wa Jal is sururun tudkhiluhu ala al-Muslim, is happiness that you enter into the heart of a Muslim. Wa takshifu anhu kurba, or a difficulty that you remove from a Muslim, a worry that you relieve from a Muslim. Aw qada' ad-dayn, or that you fulfill or you repay some of his loan, or you forgive some of his loan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, Hassanahu al-Albani rahimullah, Wala in amshi ma'a akhi al-Muslim li hajatin, for me to walk with one of my Muslim brothers in order to fulfill one of his needs, ahabbu ilayya min a'takifa shahran, is more beloved to me than I make i'tikaf for a whole month in the masjid. So look at these beautiful actions and examples that this beautiful religion of ours encourages us to do, through which we can achieve the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, even entering happiness into the hearts of the Muslims. Even walking with a Muslim, this is, if it's done with sincerity, is from the avenues by which a person can achieve and acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for a person, for a Muslim, who is a mu'min, a believer, at-taqi, he fears Allah, he has taqwa. And he looks out, he should look out for the avenues by which he can achieve the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the successful one is the one who every day he does some of this and some of this and some of this. Every day he's doing some righteous action by which he's always trying to achieve and acquire the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from amongst the Islamic texts, the ahadith, in which Allah has showed us certain actions or certain avenues by which we can acquire the love and the pleasure of Allah, is the hadith which has been advertised on this poster or this lecture. The hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Indeed Allah, He loves for you, or there are three things that Allah is pleased with them for you. And there are three things which Allah, He is displeased with, or He doesn't like them for you. He mentioned, يَرْضَى لَكُمْ أَن تَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. He loves and He is pleased for you that you worship Him and you do not ascribe partners to Him. وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا. And He's pleased and He loves for you that all of you hold firm to the rope of Allah and that you do not become divided or disunited. وَأَن تُنَاصِحُوا مَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ. And that you sincerely advise those people whom Allah has given authority over your affairs, the rulers of the Muslim rulers of the countries. These are the three things mentioned in this great hadith, in this authentic hadith, which Allah loves for us and is pleased for us. And then he mentioned three things which Allah doesn't like for us to do. قِيلَ وَقَالَ. Hearsay, rumor mongering, speaking about the people. وَكَثَّرَتُ السُّؤَالِ. And asking many questions. وَإِذَاعَةَ الْمَالِ. And wasting money or wasting wealth. Six things, three of them Allah loves for us, and three of these Allah hates for us. If we want to be from amongst those people whom Allah loves, then we want to try to do these actions. And we want to stay away from those other three actions. So in this one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned how Allah directs us towards certain actions and warns us away from other actions. And these six actions, they contain, if we do them, the three of them, they can contain goodness and benefit for us in this life and in the hereafter. And those three actions, if we stay away from them, then in it is a goodness and a benefit for us in this life and in the hereafter. And this shows the beauty of our religion and the greatness of our religion over all of the other religions. That not only did Islam come in order to benefit us in the hereafter, but even to benefit us in this life and to protect our rights, our huquq in this life, Islam came with it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned this hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Indeed Allah, He loves and He is pleased with three things for you. And therefore this shows that the fact that Allah is pleased with these things, that these three things are from our religion. And they are acts of worship. And if we do these three things, we can seek closeness and we can achieve the love of Allah Jalla fil Ula. And it also shows that the obligation upon the Muslim is not only to do these actions, but also to love these actions. And you don't find in your heart any hatred or any discomfort, or any restriction in your chest against these three actions. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's Rabbu samawati wal ard, He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and the creator of jinn and mankind, and the one who came with this sharia, with this legislation, He loves these actions. Therefore upon the Muslim, is to love these three actions and despise and hate those other three actions that are mentioned in this hadith. The first of these actions is أن تعبد الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا, that you worship Allah alone and you do not ascribe partners to Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the first of these three things he mentioned is التوحيد and الإخلاص, توحيد and sincerity and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from الشرك. He mentioned this thing first because this is the most beloved act to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even from these three actions in this hadith, then this is the most beloved of these three actions. In fact, a person cannot acquire and achieve the love of Allah except through this action. So it is the most obligatory of obligations and the most foremost of obligations. And it is the principle of this religion, tawheed and ikhlas and staying away from shirk. It's the reason for which creation was created, the reason for which the jinn and mankind were created, the reason for which the books were sent down. It is the reason for which the messengers were sent to the people. It is the reason for which Jannah was created, to reward the people of At-Tawheed and the people of Ikhlas. The reason for which the fire was created, in order to punish the people of Ash-Shirk and those who disbelieve in At-Tawheed and they don't have Al-Ikhlas. In fact, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah mentions, the Qur'an, all of the Qur'an, every single ayah of the Qur'an establishes this principle regarding At-Tawheed and Ikhlas and staying away from Ash-Shirk. Allah said in the Qur'an, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I did not create jinn and mankind except that they should worship me. I worship me in Tawheed and in sincerity. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, indeed we have sent to every single nation a messenger proclaiming what? That worship Allah alone and avoid the false deities. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ اللَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ, we did not send a messenger before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that we revealed to him, that proclaimed to the people, there is no deity worthy of worship except me, so worship me. Allah said in the Quran, وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and worship me, and do not ascribe partners to me. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, they were not ordered except that they should worship Allah, making all of the acts of worship sincerely for Him. So many ayat in the Quran, many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with this principle, the principle of tawheed, ikhlas, and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith that Allah loves for you أن تعبدوه ولا تشركوا به شيئا, two opposites, that you love Allah and at the same time it's opposite that you don't ascribe partners to Allah, you don't take your worship to other than Allah. And this is the meaning of al-Islam, this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Two things: firstly, you affirm your worship of Allah, your tawheed of Allah, and at the same time you disbelieve and you reject all of the false deities. So if a person worships Allah, he fasts and he gives zakah and he prays and he does all the acts of worship, but he doesn't reject and disbelieve in the false deities, then he hasn't fulfilled La ilaha illallah. And if a person rejects and disbelieves all of the false deities, but he doesn't worship Allah and have at-tawheed and sincerity for Allah, then he hasn't fulfilled La ilaha illallah. And therefore the only avenue towards the pleasure and the rida and the muhabba of Allah Azza wa Jal is تَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, worship Allah and do not ascribe partners to Him. And for this reason, those people who mock the people of At-Tawheed, and they speak against the people of At-Tawheed, and they give nicknames to the people of At-Tawheed, Wahhabis and so on and so forth, then they should know, and this is a warning against them, that your actions which are not in conformity to At-Tawheed, and you're mocking the people of At-Tawheed, and you speaking about the ulama who call to At-Tawheed, then this is an action which doesn't bring about the love of Allah, rather it brings about the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as we said in the hadith al-Qudsi, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيٍّ فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, Allah says, then I will declare war upon that person. And who are the awliya of Allah if they are not the people of At-Tawheed? Who are the awliya of Allah if they are not the people of Al-Ikhlas, sincerity, wal-ibadah, wal-da'wah, wal-kitab, wal-sunnah? And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the second thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with it for us and loves for us. He said, وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, that Allah is pleased and He loves for us that all of us together we hold on firmly to the rope of Allah and we do not become disunited. So in this is a benefit that Allah loves for the Muslims to be united and to be practicing His religion together and to have strength in themselves and in their numbers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, He mentions this concept of al-i'tisam, holding on firm. He mentions it twice. In one ayah, He mentions holding on firm to Allah, al-i'tisam billah. And in another ayah, He mentions holding on firm to the rope of Allah, al-i'tisam bihablillah. Allah said in the Qur'an, fa'tasimu billah, fa'ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-nasir. Hold on to Allah, be firm with Allah, and how good a protector He is, and He's the best of supporters and aiders. So this is in being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing in the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal. And in another ayah, He mentions, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and hold on firm to the rope of Allah and do not become disunited. And the meaning of the hablullah, the rope of Allah here is, in general, the sharia of Allah, the religion of Allah. So i'tisam is in two things. I'tisam with Allah, meaning that you place your trust in Allah. You have your tawakkul in Allah, your reliance in Allah. Your dependence is upon Allah. Your seeking of aid is with Allah. This is al-i'tisam billah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, and whoever places his reliance upon Allah, then Allah is enough for him. فَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, and have tawakkul and reliance and dependence upon Allah if you are believers. This is i'tisam billah. And then we have al-i'tisam bihablillah, holding on to the rope of Allah, i.e. fulfilling the commandments of Allah and protecting and preserving the religion and the laws and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after mentioning ta'tasimu bihablillah, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, wala tafarraqu, and don't become disunited. And therefore for the Muslims to be united and be one is an objective and a goal that we have to work towards, and something which brings about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because the Prophet mentioned not being disunited after he mentioned being united upon the Hablullah, then this shows that this unity isn't merely a unity of bodies and coming together in associations and jama'at. Rather, it's a unity of being upon At-Tawheed and a unity of the hearts and a unity upon the truth and upon Al-Islam, upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, because Allah mentioned not becoming disunited after He mentioned unity upon the rope of Allah, this shows that there can be no unity except if it is through the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever we differ about the religion of Allah, then we become disunited. And whenever we agree about the religion of Allah, then there will be unity amongst us. And therefore, those people who mock this call of calling the people to the truth, those people who believe in having many sects and many jama'at, many groups and different thinkings, and all of it is correct, they should know that this isn't how the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is achieved. And this isn't something which Allah is pleased with. Rather, this is something which angers Allah, and they should be careful of this. And then the third thing which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that Allah is pleased with it for us, is وَأَن تَنَاصَحُ مَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ, that you give sincere advice to those people whom Allah has given authority over your affairs, i.e. the rulers, the Muslim rulers of the Muslim countries, that we give them sincere advice. And giving an-nasiha, sincere advice, it's mentioned in the famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari that all of you will know. The hadith of Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu Abu Ruqayya. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-deenu nasiha. The religion, all of it is sincere advice. And he would repeat this. Qil, it was said, Liman ya Rasulullah, sincere advice to whom, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Lillah, sincere advice to Allah. Wali kitabihi, and to his book. Wali Rasulihi, and to his messengers. Wali a'immatil muslimin, and to the leaders of the Muslims. Wa ammatihim, and also the common folk of the Muslim ummah. So giving sincere advice to the Muslim rulers, this is something which has been established in our religion. This nasiha, this sincere advice, there's two levels that we have to fulfill. There's something which is in the heart, hidden inside, and there's something upon the tongue or upon our limbs. The nasiha, the sincerity which is on our heart, is in us wanting goodness for the Muslim rulers and having good thought about the Muslim rulers and not being jealous about the Muslim rulers or hating them or despising them or wanting what they have or plotting against them. This is the nasiha which should be in our hearts, that we want goodness for them. And then the other nasiha is the nasiha of the tongue and the nasiha of the limbs. As-sam' wa ta'a, that we show obedience to them. We listen to them. We obey their laws. We obey them as long as they don't order us to disobey Allah. When they order us to disobey Allah, then there's no obedience in disobedience to Allah. But we are patient and we show respect and we give in to their authority. As-sam' wa ta'a, we don't take away our hand from their obedience, from the jama'ah. We don't cause problems, commotions, demonstrations, protests, and all of these things. All of this comes under that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, that you give sincere advice in your heart and also upon your tongue to the wulat al-umur, to the leaders of the Muslims. Now when we say this doesn't mean that if we see a Muslim ruler doing an evil action, or he does a crime, or he oppresses people, that we have to praise him, or that we accept what he is doing. Rather, we make dua for that ruler. Allahumma hadihi, O Allah, guide him. Allahumma aslahu, O Allah, rectify his affair. Allahumma arzakhu batanatan saliha, O Allah, give him a good company, or those who are good around him. Allahumma waffiqhu litahkimi bikitabik, O Allah, give him the tawfiq to implement your book and your sharia. And this issue of making dua for the Muslim rulers, this is something which is very important. There's a great narration which is mentioned by one of the great imams of the Salaf, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh. He was one of the imams of the Salaf. And he said, لو كانت لي دعوة مستجابة لجعلته للسلطان. That if I had one final supplication that Allah was going to answer, then I would make it for the ruler. Almost all of us here, perhaps myself included, if I was to say to you that you have one supplication from Allah, or to Allah, and this is your last supplication, and this supplication, it will be answered 100%. Make dua to Allah. 99.9999% of people will say, will make dua for themselves, for their wife, for their children, for their parents, their family, to enter into Jannah, to be given wealth in this world. But Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh said, no, if I had one final supplication, I would make it for the Wali al-Amr, for the Muslim ruler. Because he knew that if a Muslim ruler is rectified, then the country and the dunya becomes rectified. And that's why Abdul ibn Mubarak, rahimullah, he said, وَمَنْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا مِثْلَكَ. And who is able to do something like this, except you, O Fudayl ibn Iyadh. And some of the Salaf, they used to say, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا يَدْعُو لِلسُّلْطَانِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السُّنَّةِ. If you see a person making a supplication for the ruler, then know that this person is from the people of the Sunnah. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا يَدْعُو عَلَى السُّلْطَانِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْهَوَى. And if you see a person supplicating against the ruler, then know that he is a people from the people of the desires. So this issue of السمع والطاعة, showing obedience to the rulers, to the Muslim rulers, even if they oppress, even if there's some corruption amongst them, as long as they remain Muslims, and they are not kuffar, and we don't see from them kufran bawahan, as is mentioned in the hadith, clear proof, kufr, then we hear and we obey and we make dua for them and we want goodness for them, and we don't have jealousy towards them, we don't have khubth, you know, deviance or deviation in us against them. This was from the indicators of a person being from the people of the Sunnah with the Salaf. I remember in that time, even at the times of the Imam of the Salaf, there were rulers who brought in Greek philosophy, who had aqidah of the philosophers and the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila, and they used to force the people to have a particular aqidah. There were rulers who used to drink alcohol, kill Muslims, kill the Sahaba, fight the Sahaba. A ruler who, in fighting Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhuma, he destroyed the Kaaba. And yet despite all of this, they used to say these types of words. And therefore those people who mock the people who established this principle, and they say that these people are the scholars of the government, and these are the umala, the puppets, and so on and so forth, and they mock our ulama, then they should be careful and be aware that this isn't something which brings about the love of Allah. Rather, this is something which brings the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these three things Allah loves for us. Al-ibadat wal-ikhlas, unity upon the religion of Allah, and advising the Muslim rulers and wanting goodness for them. If Allah loves these things, then the obligation upon us is to also that we love these things. And we don't find anything in our hearts against these things. And we accept these things. And then we follow and we implement these things, hoping to be from those whom Allah Jalla fil Ula loves. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hates for us, or He despises, that He doesn't want us to do. He said, قِيلَ وَقَالَ. Rumor mongering, spreading rumors, hearsay. He said and it was said. Speaking about people. وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ. And asking many questions. وَإِضَاعَةُ الْمَالِ. And wasting wealth. Being wasteful and extravagant when it comes to the wealth. The first of these things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah hates is قِيلَ وَقَالَ. And قِيلَ وَقَالَ, speaking about people and spreading rumors and hearsay, this is something which is very dangerous. And it destroys the brotherhood amongst the people. And it destroys the honor of the people. And the religion of the people is spoken against. It destroys relationship between the Muslims. It brings about hatred and animosity and jealousy and envy between the people because of qila wa qal. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned this thing, the first thing which Allah hates for us in this hadith. And one of the avenues, or the most severe and greatest and easiest avenues of sinning, is the tongue. Because you say words and you think it is nothing, just mere words. And yet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these words, they have a painful punishment. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was advising the great companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, أَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took hold of his tongue. Like this, took hold of his tongue. And he said, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا, protect this, stop this from yourself, O Mu'adh. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he didn't understand the severity of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. Or he wanted to question even more what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. And he said, Ya Nabi Allah, O Prophet of Allah, أَإِنَّا الْمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتْكَلَّمُ بِهِ, we will be questioned regarding those things that we just speak about. We're sitting at home and we speak about just words, and yet we're going to be questioned about them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ, may your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَّتِهِمْ, will the people be dragged to Jahannam, to the fire, on their faces or upon their noses, except due to the insults and the statements of the tongue? We ask forgiveness for Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays we have people, they speak, they make judgments, they attack the honor of the people, of the Muslims, more than the Muslims, of the tulab al-ilm, the students of knowledge, more than the students of knowledge, the mashayikh, the scholars, more than the mashayikh, the ulama al-kabar, the senior scholars. They speak about them, criticize them, mock them, give them names. And yet these are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have people speaking, judging by the honor of the people, by the religion of the people, without any regard. And they think this is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think this is the science of hadith. Yes, we know that refuting Ahlul Bid'ah, it's from our religion. And exposing the plots of the people of innovation from is from our religion. But this is for whom? The people of knowledge, those who have knowledge. They check, they investigate. They have knowledge, proof, evidences. As for every Bakr, Zaid, and Amr speaking and speaks about the students of knowledge and speaks about Ahl Sunnah, then this is the qila wa qal. And this is what drags people to the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ, do you know who the bankrupt person is? And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, الْمُفْلِسُ فِينَا مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَارِ, the muflis, the bankrupt person, in our understanding, is a person who doesn't have any wealth, no gold coins and no silver coins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, rather, the muflis, the bankrupt person, rajulun ya'ti yawm al-qiyamah, is a person who will come on yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, bi salatin wa zakatin wa siyamin, and he comes, he has many prayers and much fasting and many acts of zakah. And we don't have those in the first place. Those people who are speaking and backbiting, they don't even have these actions in the first place. And then the Prophet said, وَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا, and he has insulted this person. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا, and he has falsely accused the honor of this person. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and he has hit this person. وَظَلَمَ هَذَا, and he has oppressed this person. فَيُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَعْمَالِهِ الصَّالِحَةِ, And then his righteous actions are taken away from him. And they are given to those people who he has been speaking against. And when he has no righteous actions left, and remember this was a person who came with many prayers and much fasting and much zakah and much sadaqah. And these are people, and we are people, that we don't have any of this in the first place. Then what happens? The bad deeds of this person who he has spoken against and spread qila wa qala against, they are given a place upon his scales. Nastaghfirullah. So this is the danger of qila wa qala. The second thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love for us, is kathratu su'al, asking many questions. And the meaning of asking many questions is asking those questions which have no benefit, or seeking from people that which you do not need, or begging from the people, or asking regarding the dunya when you don't need it, something which isn't a necessity, or asking questions which have no benefit for you in this life or in the hereafter. Or at-ta'ammuq, going too deeply into things. And one of those questions, and I'll mention them, because it seems that this is a particular problem amongst this community in this town and other towns as well. One of these questions, or this ta'ammuq and ta'annut, this going too deeply and going over the top, is regarding the meat of the Muslims. It's not permitted for a person that when he sees another Muslim, his Muslim brother, and he's selling meat, he's a Muslim butcher, that he then asks and investigates and looks at him and is suspicious against him. Is your meat halal? Are you part of this organization? Do you have this certificate? Have you paid these fees? Rather, if a Muslim comes to us and he's a Muslim and he says that my meat is halal, then you eat from his meat. And similar to this is praying in the masajid. And this is also something which people make a mistake about. If you see a Muslim and he's leading a prayer, you go pray behind him. As long as you know he's a Muslim, any Muslim, and you don't need to ask, what's the manhaj of this person? Is this masjid a Salafi masjid or not a Salafi masjid? What's the aqidah of this person? If you are certain, and you know regarding this person, that he's committing acts of kufr, disbelief, and shirk al-akbar, then you don't pray behind him. But if you know that he is a Muslim, then you pray behind him. Similar to the person who is selling meat and he's a Muslim, you eat from his meat. Even the Jews and the Christians. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلُّ لَهُمْ Surah Ma'idah. The food of those people who are given the book is permitted for you, and your meat or your food is permitted for them. Your meat is permitted for them. As long as, until you are sure that they are cooking with alcohol or it's pork and so on and so forth, then you don't eat from their meat. And also in the Quran we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِنْ Took any questions about those things which Allah and His Messenger are remaining silent about. Perhaps if they ask a question and then Allah makes it haram, and then the people say that this is difficult for us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith, he said, مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ فَهُوَ حَلَالٌ That which Allah has made halal in His book, then it is halal. وَمَا حَرَّمَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ And that which Allah has made haram, then it is haram. وَمَا سَكَتَ عَنْهَا فَهُوَ عَافِيَةٌ And those things which Allah has remained silent over, then this is a pardoning from Allah, an ease from Allah, an allowance from Allah. فَقْبَلُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ So accept this pardoning and this allowance from Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُنْ نَسِيَّةٌ Because your Lord is not one who is forgetful. Rather, He remained silent because He wanted for this to be an ease and a pardoning for you. But this was at the time when revelation was being revealed. Now in our time today, when the revelation is complete, and the halal is clear, and the haram is clear, then we question and we ask. Everything about our religion that you are unsure of, is it halal or is it haram? Then you question. And you ask. And you ask the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, the talabat al-ilm. And then the final thing which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, is إضاعة المال that Allah hates for you being wasteful and losing your wealth or your money. And this is because wealth and money, this is a ni'mah, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who has this wealth, he doesn't know this. But when he loses this wealth, then he knows that this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest blessings from Allah is the wealth which is halal. And every blessing, every ni'mah which Allah gives, attached to it is a mas'uliyah, a responsibility or a right. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned in the hadith of Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس. The 2 feet of a slave, they will not move on the day of the resurrection until he is asked about 5 things. He's questioned about 5 things. عن عمره فيما أفنى. He'll be asked about his age, his years, his days, his time. Where did he spend it? عن شبابه فيما أبلى. He'll be asked about and questioned about his youth, his younger years. Where did he spend them? عن ماله من أين اكتسبه. He'll be asked about his wealth. Where did he take it from? Was it from halal or was it from haram? وفيما أنفقه. And he'll be asked the 4th thing regarding his wealth. Where did he spend it? And then في علمه ماذا عمل به. And he'll be asked about his knowledge and how did he implement this knowledge. The point is that he'll be questioned about his responsibility of this blessing that Allah gave him, his wealth. Did he spend it in the service of Allah? Allah has given us this wealth for our benefit, to fulfill our needs, and to give in the service of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So did you use this wealth in fulfilling your needs, fulfilling your provisions, the needs of your family, in giving in service to the religion of Allah, to the masjid of Allah, to the houses of Allah, or did you waste it in haram? So these 3 things are things that Allah, He despises for us, or He hates for us, and therefore, as Muslims, we have to also hate them and despise them. To summarize, and in ending, if a person ponders this hadith and these 6 matters, ibadah and staying away from ashirk, and unity upon the religion of Allah and staying away from being disunited, and sincerely advising the Muslim rulers, and staying away from qila wa qal, and staying away from asking useless questions and begging, and staying away from wasting the wealth. If a person looks into this hadith, you will find, and if you ponder this hadith, you'll find how great this religion is and how great the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the Muslims. That Islam came and this hadith came to preserve and protect all of the rights and all of the aspects of the life of this world and the hereafter of the Muslim. So look, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises in this hadith with at-tawheed and ibadah and ikhlas and warns against shirk, in this Allah brought this commandment to protect our religion and protect the hereafter. And when he mentioned becoming united upon the religion of Allah, then this is a protection for the religion of Allah and also a protection for the strength of the Muslims and the unity of the Muslims and the brotherhood of the Muslims. And this strength brings about goodness in this life and the hereafter. La shak, no doubt, in the unity of the Muslims is strength, and in the disunity of the Muslims is weakness. So this is the religion, our religion, looking out for our brotherhood and our strength in this world and the hereafter. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises with sincerely advising the rulers and not speaking about them or hating them or causing problems for them and being good towards them, then this is a protection and a guarantee of the security and the safety of the Muslims, a protection of the wealth and the blood and the honor and the religion of the Muslims, the Muslim countries, and the rights of the ruler. And when the Prophet ﷺ, he warned us against qila wa qal, then this is a protection for the honor of the Muslims and the religion of the Muslims. And when the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he discourages from asking many questions or begging, then this is a protection and looking out for your honor and your integrity and your standing amongst people. And when the Prophet ﷺ discourages us from wasting wealth, إضاعة المال, then this is a protection of your wealth and your property, your livelihood, the livelihood of yourself and the provisions of your family. We finish with that, and Allah knows best. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا صالحا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من أحبك وحب كل عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Is there any questions or any speaking of any clarifications? It's a written or you can just.
من هو إمام الأمة؟ The Sheikh, he asked a question. He goes, he said that you mentioned about, you know, preserving, fulfilling the rights of the Imam of the Ummah or the leader of the Ummah. And who is the Imam of the Ummah? And what are the sifat or the characteristics of this Imam? And first of all, the reason why the Sheikh is asking this. The reason why the Sheikh he asked this question is because of the problems that we're seeing amongst us today, and the confusion and the killing and the violence and the uproar and all these demonstrations and all of this that we're seeing today, the different groups, different people claiming to be leaders, different people claiming to be mujahideen, and all of these things that we're seeing today. Some of our youth, maybe even from this town, maybe from this masjid, leaving this country, leaving their houses, even some of our sisters, without the permission of their parents, without the permission of their wali or their mahram, going to faraway countries, travelling, dying. Is this jihad? Is this not jihad? And all of these different things that we're seeing. And first of all, the Prophet ﷺ, he prophesied that this would happen. And Umar radiallahu anhu, in a famous instance, he was sitting amongst the companions. And he said to the companions, مَن مِنْكُمْ يَحْفَظْ حَدِيثُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي الْفِتَنِ. Who amongst you has memorized the statements and the sayings of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم regarding the afflictions and the calamities and the tribulations and the problems and the confusion that will occur at a later stage? And one of the companions, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, are you asking about the fitna that a person, a man has with regard to his family and his child, meaning his small sins that he commits? And then he said, as for this type of fitna, then when a person prays and when a person gives sadaqah, then this is expiated and it is forgiven. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, لَيْسَ هَذَا الَّذِي أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ. This isn't the fitna that I'm asking about. I'm asking about the other type of fitna. He said, I'm asking you regarding the fitna, تَمُوجُ عَلَى الْأُمَّةِ كَمَوْجِ الْبَحَرِ, that will hit this ummah like the waves hit the ocean. So many calamities, so many tribulations, so much confusion and killing and chaos and violence that will hit this ummah like the waves that hit the shore. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, you don't have to worry about this, O Umar radiallahu anhu. Why? Bainaka wa bainaha bab. Because you are the door or the barrier between the ummah and between all of these fitan coming. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he knew from his insight, from that which Allah had given him, that when this barrier, when Umar radiallahu anhu passes away, then this fitna is now going to come upon this ummah. He said that this door which is now here, is it going to be opened am yuksar, or is it going to be destroyed? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, bal yuksar wa la yughlaq ba'dahu abada. Rather, this door, it will be destroyed and flung open and it'll never be closed afterwards. So this is the time which we are living in today. Fitan tamuju ala al-ummati kamuj al-bahr. Tribulations, violence, chaos, afflictions, confusion, that will come and hit this ummah like the waves. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيْرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives long amongst you, then you will see much differing and much confusion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يكثر الكذب. That the hour will not be established until there is much lying. ويكثر الجهل. And there will be much ignorance. ويكثر الهرج. And there will be much harj. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, wa mal harj? What is this harj? He said, al-qatal, violence and killing. And no doubt, la shak, no doubt, the person who has even a little bit of insight knows with absolute yaqeen, certainty, that this is the time that we are living in. No doubt. Why? Because despite the claim that we are the most civilized of people now, and we are at the, you know, our ummah or our civilization has reached this epic and is at the, you know, the peak of its civilization development, and all of these alliances and peace treaties and all of these things, and yet there are more wars now over the past few years than there has ever been before. Amongst the Muslim and even amongst the non-Muslims. Just think back, just the past few years, past 4 or 5 years. So many wars, Afghanistan, Syria, Kashmir, Burma, Bangladesh, and so on, even amongst the non-Muslims. The African continent, full of wars. The Arabia now, Egypt, Morocco, Libya, Tunisia, all are full of killing and violence and civil wars. Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, wars. And wherever we look, wars and tribulation and violence. So this is the first thing that we have to be aware of, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesies that we're going to come upon this time, and therefore there's going to be much confusion. And for that reason, the question of the Shaykh, jazallah khair, absolutely correct. That who is the Imam? Who are these rulers? Because of this confusion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even this hadith, he said, those people, those Muslims who have been given authority over your affairs. Those rulers, in plural, it doesn't have to be one imam of the whole of the ummah. Any imam, any wali, who has authority over your affairs, and he's recognized as being the wali al-amr, recognized as this is the king, or the ruler, or the prime minister, or the president of this country, and he's a Muslim, he isn't a non-Muslim, then this is the Wali al-Amr. And he has those rights upon us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. As-sam' wa ta'a. You listen to him, you obey him, you obey his authority, we don't rebel against him, we make dua for him, we want goodness for him, we advise him, we benefit the country. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٍ. There will be a time which comes upon you. There will be rulers upon you, people who are ruling over you. قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. their hearts will be the hearts of shayateen, fi jithman al-ins. But their appearances and their bodies will be of humans. Meaning they will be Muslims, but corrupt. Corrupt Muslims. Oppressing and stealing, corruption. And yet he said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةِ. But hear and obey. These aren't my words. This isn't the ideology of, or the charter of the United Nations. This is the charter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And therefore the exception to this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that give, hear and obey, unless you see from your ruler kufran bawahan indakum minallahi burhan. Unless you see kufr, disbelief, which is absolute clear, in certainty, no difference of opinion. There's no, perhaps it can mean this and perhaps it can mean that. Then, and you have with you from Allah an evidence, then you look at the advantage and the disadvantage, the benefit and the harm, and then there is another stage. So, as an example, to bring it closer to our time, they say, the king of so-and-so country, he's not a believer, kafir. Why is he not a believer? He doesn't pray. How do you know he doesn't pray? It's known he doesn't pray. How is it known that he doesn't pray?
They don't come to the TV, maybe.
So, the point here is that this isn't certain, there's no certainty. Just rumour-mongering, thinking, maybe, maybe not. And forget the fact that maybe you're not praying, and your family's not praying, and your own father's not praying, your uncles aren't praying, and your society isn't praying, but him over there, he isn't praying. So in all of this, whenever we have a Muslim who has authority and is known as being the ruler, the president, the prime minister, the king, the leader of the affairs of the Muslims, then in order to protect the Muslim countries, strengthen the Muslim countries, protect the honor and the wealth of the people, then these rulings, they apply to him. And you will see, and time will show, and the scholars have mentioned, that all of these demonstrations and revolts and revolutions that are coming, that the evil that comes out of them is and will be more severe than the previous situation that they were upon. But as I mentioned, this doesn't mean that if we see an evil from a ruler, that now we start praising him, or we say, no, this isn't an evil, or we accept it, or we obey him. لا طاعة في معصية الله. There can never be any obedience to anybody as long as there is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.
Any other questions, any clarifications before we close? In that case, Jazakallah khair, Naveed, for travelling so far to benefit us. And thank the brothers for attending. Inshallah, next month we'll have another lecture. Just look out for the posters online or pinned up, inshallah, bi-adhnillah. And with that, we'll end. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا خاطب الحور الحسان وطالبا لوصالهن بجنة الحيوان.